The You Should Know podcast is a product of Creative Element, the digital marketing experts in the Midwest. This podcast is focused around the people, things, and practices you should know in the world of digital marketing and business. We will explore various digital marketing and business topics in an interview style to create actionable takeaways for you to implement, delegate, or ponder upon, as well as getting to know the people behind the businesses a little better. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of You Should Know. This is James Duran and
Mari Bird.
And we are again joined by Alex. If you have not listened, go listen to a previous episode on SEO that Alex sat in on. Welcome back, Alex.
Hi. Good to be back.
Like we need one of those pew 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 buttons for guests.
Some sound effect buttons.
Yeah.
It's the miracle what we can do in post. Like, we can edit those things in, you know.
Yeah.
But today, we're going to be talking a little bit different subject, but often probably confused of what the difference is between SEO and what we're talking about today, which goes by a few different names, SEO, PPC. But for the most part, when we talk about this, it's usually Google-type products. So what used to be called Google AdWords, which is now Google Ads. And everything that involves that. There are other flavors, if you will. Bing has some paid stuff, which the 2% of the people out there that use Bing still fine, okay?
It's like Android users.
Well, don't. There's some Android people in the office, so don't say that too loud now. The other is stuff that is like through Outbrain and more of like paid publication stuff, where it is you'll do a paid article that's driving back to, so it's kind of like the perfect mix between SEO and SEM, because you're writing an article or a blog, but then you're buying space in the publication to drive people back to that article or blog.
Right.
So we're not necessarily talking about those pieces today, but can you give like a 30,000 foot view difference of what SEO versus SEM is?
So SEO is long term, and it's just about improving the content and the structure of your site to show up in those natural organic listings. So when you search on Google, it'll have a couple things at the top usually, and they'll have a little thing that says ad. So those things that say ad are SEM, search engine marketing, and the things below that would be your SEO goals, which would be ranking higher, organic. You don't need to pay anything to Google.
Yeah. You know, there are some conspiracy theories out there that if you do participate in the SEM side, that you just so happen to rank better organically on the SEO side.
Right. And I think that there is some correlation. I wouldn't call it a conspiracy, but if you send more quality traffic to your site, you know, you buy an ad and people spend a lot of time on your site, explore your site, that might be a signal to Google, like, hey, people seem to really like this site.
And they'll index it more often and help it on the organic side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Alex, you mentioned that when you search something on Google, you'll get those top three. Maybe that'll say ad or sponsored. But can you give us some other examples of what a SEM or PPC ad might look like on the consumer side?
Yes. So there's a lot of spaces online that are advertising spaces that I think, having grown up with technology or been using the internet for so long, we just don't even recognize them as being like advertising spaces. But those ads you see on YouTube videos, or if you go on a website and they have a little box on the page, or a banner image somewhere. Those are some alternative ways. Even on apps. Yeah, even on apps. Those are some kind of the alternate ways that Google can help you advertise, opposed to the traditional, you know, you type something in on Google search and they show up.
And they use the partner networks to reach a more dialed in audience, right?
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned YouTube. I think a lot of people don't realize that Google Ads and YouTube kind of go hand in hand. And I think when you're thinking about the investment, YouTube is an excellent, excellent place for your ads to be placed. And kind of with that said, something that I see when I'm doing sales or just talking to our clients about SEM and Google Ads is they come back with, oh, well, my buddy being another right. entrepreneur,
right.
he invests $10,000 in Google Ads and I don't have that. That person could be in a completely different industry. So right. can you just touch on how the investment can vary from industry to industry?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Even in terms of campaign to campaign, you know, where you're advertising can impact how much things cost. So I would say what industry you're in, where you're advertising, and what kind of ads you're using can all impact how much you're spending. So if you are trying to do a traditional Google search ad and you are in a very competitive market in a competitive industry like roofing, the keyword roofing might cost, you know, $12, $15 just for one keyword.
And that's a click, right?
Per click.
Yes.
Per click. But that is, you know, that is very, very competitive, very like lead oriented.
Yeah. And most of those, you know, when you have a higher dollar per click or cost per click, it's okay for those companies to pay that because their cost per acquisition for their clients can be high enough because the dollar value of a sale is that much higher.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't pay $12 for a keyword to sell a cup of coffee.
Right.
That's going to cost $3.
Right. Right. So it's all about knowing your industry and knowing your area. But if you were to, you know, advertise for a dog grooming service in a smaller city for a similar search ad, you might be spending 90 cents. You might be spending $1.25, you know, and that's for the most competitive keyword. So really just what industry you're in can make a big difference.
Yeah. And just like if you listen to the SEO episode, we talked about keyword research, and how we can find how people are actually finding sites, and finding your site. There are ways to do keyword research and how much those things cost before you even do it. So when we're meeting with a client and they say, I have no idea how much I need to spend. Mm-hmm. So we'll go, hey, Alex, can you do some research? And so when we say that, what are you actually doing?
So I go on to the Google keyword planning tool and I put their site in, and then using the information they've given me in terms of, hey, like these are the services I want to advertise. Because, you know, it could get really expensive if you want to do an ad campaign for every single aspect of your business. But for the things that they tell me that they're trying to focus on, I can, you know, use their site and use those keywords as kind of a seed to find other keywords. And using this keyword planning tool, it will tell you the average cost per click that this keyword has had over a certain time frame, and also how competitive it is.
Yeah. And even the seasonality of it.
Yes.
I was just about to say that. One of our really good and longtime clients is in the lawn care space, and for them, they're probably going to have a little bit of variation depending on season.
Right.
Maybe they're going to have a ramp-up period where they're going to want to invest more as they're getting close to their peak season, but then in their off-season, maybe their investment's going to be a little bit less.
Right.
Yeah. And the one we're talking about is one that, you know, Alex and I talked about at the end of last season, about, all right, we're going to cut it in half on this date, and on this date we're going to take it to zero. And some people, and based on the industry, do that. Mm-hmm. But we're able to see how much those costs are for those industries.
Right, right.
Because what it is in December is different than what it's going to be in July.
Right. And like James said earlier, if the cost of a sale is that much higher than the cost of getting that lead, then it's worth it. But when it's in the off season, it might not be worth it because it's so astronomically high just to get that one lead.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked at the SEO episode about acronyms, and there are, I think, probably more acronyms when it comes to the SEM side of things, mm-hmm. right? One of the trendy acronyms right now is return on ad spend, ROAS, right? And I like to look at things as a math problem anytime you can. And so if you know what their average sale is, you know what their margin looks like, you know how many, what the click-through rate probably is. I'm going to throw out that one as another acronym. then you can do a math problem on how much is it reasonable to spend to get that client, mm-hmm. right? How many clicks do you need? How much your close rate look like for your company? All those things can work into that math problem. Mm-hmm. And you can come up to a good idea of, you know, we should expect to get 5x return on this ad spend, right? Like, not every single company is going to have the same return, mm-hmm. but because some of them, you don't need that high. Some of you may need 2 or 3x because you have such a high margin, high ticket business mm-hmm. that you don't need as big of an ROAS. So that's how I kind of look at it as a numbers person, is try to make it into a math problem to know really there. But using the keyword planner tool, you can see that this particular keyword, which is slightly different than this one, is $3 less, mm-hmm. right? So you can implement that and put that there, because it may be similar in search volume, mm-hmm. and you're being cheaper.
Right.
And so you can give some insight here. But, you know, Mari had mentioned about how, you know, they have a friend that maybe is spending $5,000 a month on Google. Somebody's spending $1,000. I can tell you that from the experience of doing this for so long, that the person spending $1,000 could possibly get as good a return as the person spending $5 because it's managed.
Right.
Versus just, as we said in the SEO, set it, forget it. Because of that seasonality and the changes and reviewing, and what we actually charge as a management fee is because we manage that budget, right?
Right. And even if you don't have a huge budget, we can do keyword research and kind of do a ballin' on a budget sort of approach to things, where it's like, okay, it's this keyword, you know, the most popular one, high volume, high competition, is not a great use of your limited funds. Just because even if you were to, you know, get a click, congrats, like that's 2 days worth of yeah. of clicks you got, and it's one person.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting all of your eggs in one basket.
Yes.
But while we're on the topic of investment, is it true that your competitors, or I guess really anyone, can buy your business's name?
So that, it used to not be allowed to bid on a competitor's name, but now that is something that you can do. So sometimes, you know, if you haven't crossed your T's and dotted your I's, if someone searches your company name in Google, an ad for someone else's company might show up first. So it's always a good strategy when you are building a campaign to throw your name in the list of keywords, because that's a strategy that companies will use now, is, oh, you know, if you type in a competitor, you could create an ad that says something like, we offer the best rates in the industry. So it doesn't call the search company out by name, but it kind of says, hey, we're, you know, think about us. So that's just not, it's not what you want. If someone looks you up, you don't want another company to be the first one they see.
Because so many times people will search and they're not looking for the domain name mm-hmm. that ad's linked to.
Right.
They're just seeing what's the copy on the ad.
Right.
But fortunately, so part of the ad bidding process to rank high is landing page relevance. So if you are a company and you bid on your own name, chances are you will rank the highest because it would be sending people to the company that they're looking up.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple thing that you can do.
Yeah. And, you know, you've heard the terms algorithms. Mm-hmm. And so in Google on SEO, we're talking about keyword density. We're talking about relevancy. We're talking about how fast the page loads. We're talking about if it's unique content, how fresh is it. On SEM, some of those same things come into play, but right. It's a quality score, right?
Right.
Can you talk on that just a little bit?
Right. Yeah, so there are 3 major factors for quality score. And then the 2 I want to highlight here are ad relevance and landing page experience. So when you bid on something, Google does this kind of complicated equation to figure out what's the best ad to display. So when you create an ad, nowadays when it is a search ad, what you do is you just upload a bunch of assets to it, a bunch of copy, and Google will automatically put together the most relevant combination of, you know, of titles, of descriptions, things like that. So what you want is you want your ad to be relevant to what the person is searching. So that is one thing that would help is, you know, you want to create different ad copy and ad text that answer questions. You know, if someone is searching for dog groomers, you want to talk about being a dog groomer and like services that you offer and something that you bring to the table. You know, if you don't want to create a bunch of copy about how you also do boarding and not talk about being a groomer. And then landing page experience is another thing where if they were to click on your ad and go to your website, are they finding the information that they're looking for? And I think those two things are similar to SEO, where you just want to entice people to click.
But the things that go into that quality score after the fact, right? Like, they click and they get to that page.
Right.
Or they click into another page or they leave right then. Right?
Exactly.
Because then they have the bounce rate calculation that figures in. Because they think that, all right, if they stay there for longer than the average, and maybe they click to another couple pages on the site, all right, I'm probably going to have a higher quality score because it's more relevant to that person that searched.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's a lot to the science behind SEM, mm-hmm. but it's not an exact science, right? And you have to trial and error and try different things and mm-hmm. and constantly tweak things here and there. But a lot of times business owners don't see that. All they're seeing is they're seeing the big three types of ads, right? They're seeing the text ad, they're seeing the graphic ad that's maybe on a partner network, and they're probably seeing like a video ad mm-hmm. that may be playing on YouTube or something like that, mm-hmm. right? They're just seeing the assets. They're not seeing the behind the scenes of how are we trying to make this better and build their budget to be compete with those that have higher budgets.
Right. And there's also, like you said, there's a lot of trial and error and tweaking that goes along. So when you say to Google, when you put in kind of a list of keywords to target, they will also, unless you specify, I want this exact phrase, no changes, they'll look for things that are similar. So recently we had a roofing client that was starting to rank for drywall terms. And so while, you know, they only got one or two clicks and barely spent anything of their budget, you know, that's to be aware of, that Google can see, hey, this is similar. We'll show your ad here. So you just need to be aware of where your ad's being shown and is this actually something that your company offers?
Yeah, because you can go in. One of the good things is that you can go in and do excluded.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Excluded keywords, so you do not want to show up for this.
Right.
And I think about that mainly in the home services type industries, or even like in the mortgage industries, right?
Right.
Like you may do traditional, you may do refinances, but you don't do a certain type of funding. You don't do HELOCs, you don't do this. You may do a refinance, but you don't do a home equity line of credit.
Right.
And so you would think that those things would be similar. And so Google may say, well, let's let them return on HELOCs too.
Right.
Well, they're never going to sell one. They're never going to do one.
Right.
So why spend the money on it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So another thing in the home service world is a thing called Google Guarantee.
Yes.
Right? And it has morphed and had a few different names mm-hmm. Over time, but really it is just that next level. So if you're searching search engine result page and you see ads up top, you'll then have a separate box that'll say guaranteed by Google or something along those lines. And then you have your map listings, then you have your organic, right?
Right.
Can you talk about what Google Guaranteed is and what the benefits are?
Yeah, so the main benefit is, like you were saying, they show up right at the very top of a relevant search, which is where you want to be. And so the part of it that's guaranteed is you have to kind of go through a verification process where you have to upload insurance information. You have to upload, you know, licensing information. All of these things go into saying to Google, like, hey, we are like a legit company. We're a real company. And, you know, we are not going to bail on our clients, really. So in those little listings, they have reviews there as well. So you are at the very top with good reviews and people know, like, hey, this is like a trusted company. not just some random person.
Yeah, and the other cool thing about going in that direction is that you're not going to risk having your name bought by somebody else.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you have to go through that vetting process. Think about it kind of like the Better Business Bureau, right? Mm-hmm. Like to be accredited versus just being listed.
Right.
And anybody can pay to be listed, but you have to go through a different process to have for accreditation. So Google Guarantee does that. But the other cool thing there is how good the trackability is on conversions mm-hmm. and call tracking, right? Like the yeah. click the call pieces of that.
Right, right. And so for so many other ad campaigns, you know, your goal is to, it could be to build brand awareness or to, you know, get more people to a specific page on your site. Google Guaranteed is really first and foremost to generate leads. And so if you're in the service industry and you're looking for leads, this is just like this is just a really, really great way because it's set up to get people contacting you.
And you can turn it on, turn it off as you want.
Yep.
But it is an annual process to go through and be re-verified, right?
Yes.
Like if you're a contractor, you've got to upload a contractor license, your PPC insurance, mm-hmm. Make sure that you're in good standing with the state. Like there's quite a bit of verification that goes into it.
Yes.
So lastly, one of our big niche areas that we work with and try to support are nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And so Google, some people don't even know about these that are even in the nonprofit space, mm-hmm. but called Google Grants. And we manage Google Grants for several nonprofits. And there's quite a process to go through to be awarded the Google Grant, but they provide a monetary benefit per month. But there are some limitations,
yes.
right? So can you talk a little bit, not necessarily about how to go about getting through that process to get Google Grants, but once you get it, what it is.
Right. So like James said, it's awarded to nonprofits. And we have a couple clients who have a $10,000 a month grant. So that's about $330 a day. So some of the kind of the stipulations is that it only applies to search ads. So you can't have the, you know, the graphics, the YouTube video ads. It's only for search ads. And it also caps out at a certain amount per month. So even if you're like, this is great, let's do more, anything past $10,000 a month, you would have to spend out of your own pocket. But if you're a nonprofit, this is just a really great way to get your name out there because it's literally free advertising.
Right. Yeah, but you do have some limitations.
Yeah.
I have not yet seen one nonprofit spend their entire daily budget. Yeah. Right? I have not. Yeah. I mean, maybe you have.
I was able to get one of them for about a month to hit 330 a day.
Yeah, because it takes some work.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a certain value of keyword, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't go and buy like the highest dollar keyword. Like you've got to be very efficient mm-hmm. with that spend. So,
yeah.
But it can help nonprofits so much. It boggles my mind how often when we're talking to a nonprofit that we haven't worked with before, and we bring it up and they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
It's like, it's $10,000 a month. That's what it is. So a lot of them get kind of deer in the headlights with that kind of budget because they've never dealt with anything like that.
Right.
Because they don't have that type of spendable budget inside their agency. So, well, hopefully you learned something today around pay-per-click, SEM, paid ads. It could go on and on and on about that. Any just like quick tips, any one or two things that business owners should look at to make sure that they're not just blowing through money?
I would say one thing is if your buddy gives you advice, take it with a grain of salt. And just be aware of what services you're offering, where you are, and what your goal is. Because if you want to get your name out there and just do brand awareness, you're going to spend one amount of money, get this much return per click or per impression versus, you know, trying to generate leads. So just really be cognizant of like what your goals are.
So Mari, you'll have a little bit more info in your arsenal when talking with clients.
Yeah, I'm basically an expert.
Yeah. So, well, if you have questions that we have not answered or stuff that we have not addressed, either in this one or the previous one with Alex with ICO, let us know. Give us a shout. Email us info@creativeelement.com or info@kedigital.com if you don't want to spell creative. But until next time.
Bye, guys.